All right, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Those of you boys and girls, K-4 through 3rd grade, you may go out this door with my wife, so you can come on down. You'll be headed to your special service this evening. All you adults, you stay here, all right? I want you in here. And 1 Peter chapter 5 is where we will find our text together this evening. And I know the boys and girls are going to have a great time in their meeting, and we are going to have a great time here tonight as we dig into God's truth and see some things that I hope will be a help to you. 1 Peter chapter 5 is our text tonight. As I look out in the crowd tonight, I see folks who don't have any problems. Right? I'll bet there's not a single person here who has a worry or a care or any fears or any anxiety. You all have perfect lives, don't you? But the message tonight's for you to help all the people you know with problems. Yeah, you know what the reality is, folks? Every single one of us probably in this room has some kind of a problem or a trial or a fear or a worry, some kind of difficulty in our life. Probably all of us do. And the issue is not this. The issue is not whether or not we have problems. The issue is, what do we do? How do we respond when the cares and the problems of life come our way? What do we do? You've got two choices. You can, number one, you can handle them your way, make a grand mess out of things, or you can handle them God's way and have God's peace. By the way, if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, you have no peace in your life. Well, you might have a temporary tranquility. You might have a time when your problems aren't as bad as others. But you know, this world is filled with people whose lives are in such turmoil, they don't know where to look, they don't know where to go. They've tried everything. They've tried finding peace in their booze. They've tried it in immorality. They've tried it in drugs. Tried to find it in money. Tried to find it in some kind of power. Tried to find it in my recreation. And you know what you'll find? It's always empty. Because only true peace is found in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, there might be someone here tonight. Your life is so full of problems. You don't know. You've tried everything. You don't know where to go. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. You're looking for an answer for your problems. Can I tell you something? The answer is Christ. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Listen, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Some of you tonight here, your soul has no peace. It has no rest. Can I tell you? You will never find that peace until you come to Jesus Christ. That's why Ephesians 2:14 says, for He, Jesus Christ, is our peace. The Bible says in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Peace is possible in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him as your Savior, you need to come to Christ. You need to know Him as your Savior, because then you will have what you need to get through every problem and trial that may come your way. For those of us who know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, would you look with me at 1 Peter chapter 5 as we see how to biblically respond in the cares and problems of life. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Look this way, please. The first truth I want you to see tonight is this, the definition of care. What is a care of life? The Bible says casting all your care upon Him. The word care is the Greek word merimna, which means this. It's that which divides or distracts the mind. It deals primarily with our thinking. Now, we've all experienced this. Have you ever come home from work and your wife says to you or your husband says to you, hey, are you doing okay? You say, yeah, I've got something on my mind. Maybe you come at night and you're tossing and turning all night because you just can't stop thinking about something. How many times have we said, man, I just can't stop thinking about this? And you have gone through a day and no matter what you do, you can't distract your mind, you can't seem to focus on anything but this problem. Now, the word here means it's any problem, big or small, that distracts our minds from thinking biblically. You know, in life, we have problems. They can be financial, they can be spiritual, they can be physical, they can be relational, they can be emotional. All these kinds of problems that can consume our mind, and they distract our thinking, they take our focus off of our God and His Word and focus them on the problem. That's a care of life. And all of us are prone to do that. That's the definition of care. Any problem, no matter how big or how small, that distracts us from thinking biblically. Now, point number two. We're moving along. We're going to spend the majority of our time in the second point. It's the deliverance from care. How do you and I practically experience God's deliverance from the cares of life? How do we respond? Well, we're going to kind of work through the verse, mostly word by word, and see God's plan for deliverance from care. So look back at our verse, please. The very first word is key. It says, casting. I don't know about you. I've told you this. You know I love the outdoors. So what do I think about when I see the word casting? Fishing. Oh, I love to fish. Have you ever taken a 2-year-old and 4-year-old boy fishing? We spent 3 summers at Camp Kobiak in Houghton Lake, Michigan as a staff evangelist. And during the evenings, I would try to take my boys fishing when they were 2 and 4 every night. We'd stand on the dock and I would bait the hook and I'd put the bobber on and we'd cast that line out there. And what does every 2-year-old and 4-year-old in this world do, and some of you adults do, when a fish has not bit the worm in the first 30 seconds of fishing? What do? Reel it back. That's not what this word means. You know what we do as Christians? You know what we do? We cast our problem to God, but you know what we have? We have a string attached. And when God doesn't solve our problem in the first 30 seconds of life on our timetable, what do? We bring it back. God, I got this problem. I need you to fix it. That's not what this word means. This word casting is a very interesting word. It's a Greek word gripto, which means to fling or toss or to deposit as if a load. Here's the idea. The idea of flinging or tossing is the idea of small problems. If you've ever played football, it's football season. I am a Colts fan. Let's get that up right up front. And I hope it doesn't hurt my love offering. But when you play football, you ripto. You take something in your hand, and the idea here of casting is to take something in my hand or my care and to put it into the care of another, no strings attached. To deposit as if a load, that's the idea of a heavy burden. You know, I grew up in South Carolina, and my dad would make us carry firewood from the crawl space up 14 steps, and I would load my arms as I hated making the trip. So I would stack it so high it'd be over my head I couldn't see. I would take that firewood and I'd come over to the fireplace and I would rip-toe it. I would deposit that load, take it out of my care, and place it, the entire weight of that load, onto the mantle. That's what this word means. It means to take a problem and to give it to God completely, no matter how small or how big it is, no strings attached. It's in the Greek tense, which means continual. So here's the picture. It means you are to be constantly, you could literally translate this, be always casting. Here's the idea. Every time life hands me a problem, I hand it to God. It may be small, and I fling it to God. That heavy burden I take, and I deposit that heavy load into the hands of God. But my hands are off. That's what it means to cast our care on Him. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, you say, yeah, that's great. How do I do that? How do I take my problems and cast them on the Lord? Well, I'm really glad you asked because the Bible has the answer. Number one, we do it by prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 states this. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, the word supplication refers to specific request through prayer. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Don't miss this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That mind that is distracted from thinking biblically, that's in turmoil, that's in fear, that's in anxiety, that mind, when we give it to God in prayer, is now kept and guarded by the peace of God. By prayer. I had a teenage girl when I was out in California. I was preaching and a teenage girl walked up to me and she said, Brother Brent, are you saying that when I have a problem, I go to God and say, God, this is my problem, I'm giving it to you? That's exactly right. And that's how we cast, first of all, is by prayer. However, there's a second way we cast our cares on the Lord. We do it, second of all, by purposeful thinking. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, and if it's very convenient for you. No, he says, think. Be thinking. It's the idea of this is to be what's to be constantly rotating through your mind. Think on these things. These is what your thought process is to look like biblically. You're to think, to choose to think biblically. Now that's hard sometimes. Do you know why? Because in our life experience, here's what happens. My faith, what I know to be true about God and His Word, and my feelings that come out of the experience, which is very real to me, my faith and my feelings many times are in conflict. So what do I do? What do? When my faith and my feelings are colliding, what do I do? Well, you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to trust your feelings or are you going to trust God's Word? That's why 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, when our feelings and our thinking exalts itself over the truth of God's Word, we're to take that thought, bring it into captivity. For example, I burned my legs. Now, I could have sat and said, God, I thought You said You were good. I serve You as an evangelist. I make sacrifices. And You let my legs get burned. If You're good, why did You let something bad happen to me? That's my feelings. However, Psalm 100 states unequivocally, for the Lord is good. He's always good. He never ceases to be good. However, my feelings are telling me God let something bad happen to me, so He's not good. Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. He has never made a mistake, but my feelings say God made a mistake with me. Here's what the truth says. God is good. His way is perfect. My feelings exalt itself over the knowledge of God. The Bible says you, by faith, you get that thought and you bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You dwell on the truth of Scripture. You make the choice. You cast by prayer and purposeful thinking. But I want you to see another truth. Look back at our verse in the deliverance from care. The next word, he says casting. Next word. All. You know what that means? We've already talked about that tonight once, folks. Hope you can get it. Repetition's the best teacher. Every single one. You know I love the outdoors. If my brothers and I have an older brother, younger brother, and they're evangelists, and we are outdoorsmen. Well, you know, my brother Todd's a social hunter, but he likes to hunt nonetheless. And my younger brother and I, we're pretty hardcore about it. If we were to go out west and we were to go hiking together, we have backpacks on with our gear. You know what I would try to do? Whichever brother was in front of me, I would try to take a rock about this big and about every 30 yards just put it in his backpack. And after about 4 hours up the mountain when his legs are burning and his lungs are burning and his pack weighs 30 pounds more than when he started, that's when I tell him what I did. Do you know why you wait? Because then he's too tired to catch you. Now, if I took a 30-pound rock and put it in his backpack, would he notice it? Absolutely. Does he notice the one little one at a time? No. Look at me. I'm going to tell you something. I am talking to Christians that are sitting right out here tonight. You know what you are? You are burdened down. You are discouraged. You are spiritually exhausted. And you know why? Because you have been carrying burdens around that God never intended you to carry. You see, you know that you can't handle the big ones. You don't have a problem giving those to God. But you know what you do? Oh, you would never say this with your mouth, but here's what you do with your life. Hey, God, I got this one. And you put it in your spiritual backpack. And you've accumulated problem after problem after problem. And you're weighed down spiritually. Let me tell you something, friend. How foolish would it be for my brother to go down that mountain the same way he came up with 30 pounds of extra rocks? Wouldn't that be foolish? Can I ask you a question? How much more foolish would it be for you to leave this building the same way you came in? How much more foolish would it be for you to know, yeah, I've got problems. You know what you need to do? You need to get that spiritual backpack off and cast all of them, no matter how big or small, on the Lord. That's what the text says. Look back at our verse. He says, casting all your personal intimate word, it means me, all your care, those things that divide and distract the mind, upon who? Upon your neighbor, of course. Upon your pastor, obviously. I mean, what do you do when a problem comes? I'll tell you what a lot of you do. Start texting. Meet me at Starbucks, we have to talk. Facebook posts run rampant. You get on your cell phone and you start calling your speed dial. Can I tell you something? I know that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But can I tell you something? Listen to this. Primarily, we cast our burdens on Him. Why is it that the one we are to go to first is the one that we go to as a last resort? When we've exhausted every other outlet, every other resource, then we finally realize, wow, I need God. And then we go to Him. No. You need to start with Him. You cast your cares primarily upon Him. He's the one who can do something about it anyway. Now, don't miss this. Look at the rest of the verse. We're going to look at the phrase, casting all your care upon Him for, and you can even translate that because, He, that's God, careth for you. Now, that word careth is an interesting word. If you look at care and careth, you would say, hey, that's the same word, except for there's a at the end of the second one. Guess what? Two totally different Greek words. This is the Greek word mellow. It's a verb. I don't like English very much, but this is helpful to know this because a verb speaks of action. The word mellow here that we have translated care is really means compassionate concern. It's in the tense, which means it's continual and unending. It never ceases. Here would be a very literal way to translate that word. He actively concerns Himself with compassion for you. I know it's a mouthful, but that's what it means. Here is the point. God never, ever stops caring with a compassionate concern for me. Can I tell you something? Some of you have felt abandoned by God. Some of you have asked this question, where was God when you fill in the blank? He's where He's always been, on His throne in heaven. He reigns. He's never stopped. And He's never stopped caring for you. Now you get this. If God seems far away to you, who moved? God didn't move. But in our fear, and in our doubt, and in our pain, we walk away from the God who never stops caring for us. And the reason why God seems far away to you, perhaps, is because, not because God's abandoned you, but you've walked away from Him. The Bible says on no uncertain terms, He never stops caring for us. Never. And He right now, even for that one who's here tonight that's walked away from the Lord, who has had been doubt and fear and anger and resentment towards their God, you know what? He still cares for you too. Never ends. But I want you to see a third truth with me tonight. Would you look at verse number 8? There's the danger of care. What if we don't handle the problems of life God's way? Well, the Bible says this, be sober. That means to be sound in your thinking, right in your thinking. By the way, this is a key word because this connects verse 7 and verse 8 together. Remember, a care is that which divides and distracts the mind. Now He's saying, be sober, be disciplined in your thinking. You can't have a distracted mind. Be sober, be vigilant or watchful, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That phrase devour means literally to swallow up. Satan hates you. He wants to destroy you. Have you ever been distracted? I do it all the time. I drive. Have you seen my trailer out there, 8 feet wide, 42 feet long with an F-350 Super Duty? It's not good to get distracted when you're driving that thing 70 miles an hour down the interstate. But when I'm driving through Illinois or Indiana at dusk and I'm driving down the road and there's a herd of deer on the side of the road, I get distracted real easy. But you know what the danger of distraction is? You get off course, and when you're going 70 miles an hour down the interstate, you get off course, you got problems. I want you to follow this. Here's what happens spiritually. Here we are. A problem comes into our life and our thinking gets distracted. Okay? Now, because we are not handling things right, our thinking is distracted because our focus is wrong. By the way, if you notice this, if you go home tonight, if you focus, I'm not going to go in that ditch. I'm not going to go in that ditch. Where are you going to end up? Because you got the wrong focus. You see, when you have the wrong focus, your life takes the wrong direction. So here's what happens. Our mind gets distracted. Our life begins to take a spiritual detour. Now, it may be gradual, it may be sudden, but our life gradually takes a detour away from God. Once the further we drift from the Lord in that spiritual detour, then we begin to doubt. We begin to question God's Word. We question the very character and person of God. When we begin to doubt Him, then we disbelieve Him. Now unbelief creeps into our hearts. And now, once we have unbelief that is taking root and bearing fruit in our heart, once we disbelieve God, you know what we'll do? We'll disobey Him. And when we disobey Him, Satan devours. That's the danger of care. Satan will destroy you. I guarantee you, some of you know people who used to be members of this church, who used to be faithful. A problem came into their life, and they have nothing to do with God's house today. You know what? They were devoured by the wicked one because it all started when their thinking got distracted, and they didn't handle the problems of life God's way. You have any problems, cares, worries? They don't have to destroy you. Satan does not have to devour you. You can have God's deliverance from care if you will biblically respond to the cares of life by casting all. Be always casting by prayer and purposeful thinking. Every single one, no matter how big or small, every care upon the Lord, because He never ceases to concern Himself with compassion for you. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me tonight, please? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed together this evening.